Well, a bit of a cheesy link there, but something you've got used to from me over the years. Anyway, I guess that we can assume from the title, I got it from my mama, that Will.i.am's mother actually had made a will. Right, moving swiftly on. Let me welcome Dan Atfield back into the studio. You may remember that Dan popped in here a couple of weeks back to set the scene for the new features that we're going to be presenting on Wills. So welcome, Dan. A very happy new year to you.
And the very same to you and to the Phoenix FM listeners, Scott.
Let's start right at the very beginning. Who needs to make a will and at what point in their lives should they be doing this?
Well, anyone... And everyone, whatever their age really, if somebody has assets, for instance, a house, savings, perhaps a business, and people, charities or pets you'd like to look after, you really should be making a will. If you die without a will or will-less, and your affairs can be in limbo for a long time. On average, probate without a will takes around 2 years. And let's be brutal. Two things are certain in life. We'll all pay tax and we will all die. And if you die without a will, on top of the grief, it can cause a financial nightmare for the people that you care about.
And of course, making a will doesn't actually make it happen, does it? You're still alive. It doesn't make you die because you've made a will. Some people are a bit worried about doing that.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point. But, you know, over the years, the last 20 years or so, we've drafted in excess of 60,000 wills, and most of those clients are actually still alive. So it's not tempting fate, and it doesn't mean you're going to die just by making a will.
Now, come on, what does a will actually do?
Oh, crikey, now. Well, that's a...
Briefly.
That's a big question. Well, briefly, it sets out what you want to achieve when you die.
Yeah.
It names your executors. Mm-hmm. That's the people who will be legally responsible for looking after your estate and making sure that your wishes are carried out. It specifies who your beneficiaries are and what they will receive. And in certain cases, it can mitigate inheritance tax. Mm-hmm. It helps you to set out your funeral wishes, whether you want your organs donated for transplant purposes. It can be used to safeguard assets against things like future partners, insolvency, and even from care home fees. Some would argue the most important thing a will does is to appoint guardians to take care of young children. Hmm. Without a will or without guardians named in a will, minor children could be taken into foster care, which, as you can imagine, can be devastating for family members who would otherwise have taken the children in.
So who can be an executor?
Well, people often appoint a surviving spouse or their own children as executors, and that can be fine. It gives the executor the option to seek help from or appoint a professional at the time of need. You can also appoint a friend or remote a member of the family. Some people are more comfortable appointing a professional executor from the outset, and this can be a solicitor or a trust corporation. Some banks, of course, have trust corporations, or Affinity offers this facility as well. If you do appoint a professional, they will make a charge, of course, for the service. Solicitors, on average, can be around 2% of the gross value of the estate. And a bank's trust corporation, you won't be surprised to learn, is more like double that. But Affinity's fees are considerably less.
Because, of course, 2% might not sound an awful lot, but if your estate can easily mount up these days with a value of property, etc., to £500,000 or whatever, it's a no mean fee.
Well, especially in Brentwood, the way house price inflation has impacted in recent years, of course.
Are the duties of an executor particularly difficult?
Well, that depends how complex the estate is, of course. It's a legal responsibility and it's a liability. Mm-hmm. Executors have to assume responsibility for administering the estate in a proper legal fashion. And some estates are very straightforward and some are, as we've said, a lot more complex. The main thing to bear in mind, I think, with being what we call a lay executor, that's an ordinary person doing the job, is that most people haven't done the job before, so it's alien to most of us. You could argue that it's simply a paperwork exercise.
I suspect it's a bit of a nightmare.
It can be, of course, it can be.
Now, Dan, we were just talking about the importance of actually having a will, but tell me, what happens if you don't have one? Can all go horribly wrong, can't it?
Well, it can. It can, Scott. It's covered by a fairly old piece of legislation from 1925 called the Administration of Estates Act. And what you're basically doing is leaving it to chance that the government are deciding where your estate will go. Now, actually, where it goes will depend on a number of factors. One of those factors will be your marital status. So, for instance, if you're a married couple, it can be a lot more straightforward, especially if assets are owned jointly, because they pass automatically under what we call the survivorship rules. If you're not married, and this will probably come as a surprise to many, especially those who use the term common law wife and common law husband, in a partnership of that nature, the partner has no legal standing under the intestacy rules. Now, that could mean that if the male, let's say, in the partnership passes away, the partner could be left high and dry. It's further complicated if you've got people with children of their own or stepchildren in a relationship, because children of that deceased partner could take precedence over the live-in partner, or the common law partner, as we've stated. So it can be a very, very complex situation. One thing is certain, that many people who put off making a will are under the misapprehension that everything will pass to their surviving spouse or partner anyway. And that's not strictly true. It largely depends on the value of the estate. And some of the estate could bypass the partner in favour of the children, which can cause a lot of financial hardship.
Now, I think I'm right in saying that in the event that both members of the partnership were to be killed in a road accident, that it is taken that the male dies first. Is that correct?
Only if the male is older than the female, yes. You're referring to the law of Comorientes, and in a situation as you...
What's it called?
Comorientes. Don't ask me to spell that, Scott. Basically, what it's saying is that if two people, a couple, die in circumstances where it cannot be determined who died first, then the law deems that the older died or predeceased the younger. And to give you an example, and this is a real-life example of how that works, I was once told about a situation by a client where a couple with two children died in their sleep one night due to a boiler, gas fumes from a boiler, basically killed the whole family, the children as well.
Oh, God.
And because the husband was older than the wife, he was deemed to have died first, and it meant that the entire estate went to the wife's parents. And that probably isn't what they would have wanted. And a will, this of course is without a will. With a will, of course, that situation could have been avoided.
All right, now taken that I haven't already made a will and I accept that I better get cracking, why would I need to consider a company such as Affinity when I know full well that for a few quid I can buy a will kit over the counter or use a template that I can find online? There you are, it's a fastball with topspin for you.
In we in the profession quite like homemade wills, because I read a little line once. It said that two lawyers were having a drink in a wine bar one day, and one said, "I propose a toast. Here's to the man who made his own will." They have their place, and if your circumstances are very simple, then a homemade will or a downloaded will is certainly an option that should be considered. But you should understand, if you're making a homemade will, that if you make any mistakes, you won't benefit from the protection you would have received had the will been produced professionally. And in many cases, most people's affairs are almost certainly more involved and complex than you realise. It's also true to say that if you're a member of a trade union or are covered by certain types of insurance, you may well find that you're covered for the preparation of a will. But again, that may be suitable only for very simple wills. And you would invariably have to fill in a form and send it off for someone to draft the will remotely without a face-to-face meeting. And what that means is you don't get any advice on what your options are.
All right. Now, I suppose that traditionally people have turned to solicitors or banks to when they're thinking about making a will. Is that true?
Well, I think historically that's certainly true. I think that has changed dramatically in recent years. Because if you think about it, if you don't mind shelling out a good deal of money for a solicitor-drafted will and visiting their office during working hours, that's fine. But, of course, solicitors are not just dealing with wills, but a million and one other things. And bear in mind that as your circumstances change, you may need to go through the procedure all over again to revise your will. On average, somebody will make something like five or six wills in their lifetime. So a will does need to be reviewed.
So that's going to cost you a bit if you go through a solicitor each time you update it.
Absolutely, yes.
And we've got Dan Atfield from Affinity, Mr. Wills himself, explaining some of the basics about making a will and some of the options open to you. But let's get right down to the nitty-gritty and establish just what you at Affinity can offer.
Well, first off, Scott, as the name implies, Affinity Wills, we solely deal with matters relating to wills. We specialise. We have a team of estate planners, a small dedicated team who are fully trained and registered with the Society of Will Writers. And we ourselves, as a company, are regulated by the Society of Will Writers and estate planning practitioners. And that gives clients peace of mind. We offer home consultations at a time to suit the client. We don't charge any extra for that home visit. And all our services are provided on a fixed fee basis and reflect the amount of work required to provide legally binding wills and any other documents requested. We also have a price match guarantee. So if after instructing us, you find that you could have paid less for the equivalent service, we will refund the difference. And you can't say fairer than that, can you?
Certainly not. Now, just taking you up on one point there, you say it's a fixed fee. Does that mean it's not a percentage?
Correct.
That's got to be a really good selling point for you, I'd have thought.
Absolutely, yeah. It is.
Now, would you like to just summarise the points that you've made today and also tell us a little bit about what you and your colleagues are going to be covering future programmes? Not in any date order, just a rough idea. You know.
Well, first of all, to summarise, we've talked today about who should make a will. We've talked about what a will does. The things that you can achieve in a will, who can be executors, whether to use a layperson or a professional executor. We've talked about what happens if you don't make a will, putting your family in the position to sort out a real mess under the intestacy rules. And we've talked about what we can offer, a fixed fee service, providing a professional home visit. Now, in the future, over the next sort of weeks and months as we go forward, we're going to talk about in far more detail what a will can achieve insofar as the things that I've mentioned today, protection against things like future spouses or partners, protecting people who have blended families, extended or blended families. That's each partner in a couple having their own children. We've seen big increase in that over the years. Historically, of course, a married couple with two children, or 2.4, I think someone told me once, was the average. That was the norm. But as time has gone by, we've got more and more divorces, more and more people who are living together who are not married. And we're going to talk about how you can protect your estate for your children, rather than see it go somewhere where you don't want it to go. We're going to talk about the increase in recent years about claims on estates, which is dramatically increased in recent years. We're going to talk about powers of attorney.
Are you going to be able to show how you can protect against that sort of claim?
We are indeed, yes. It's a very, very, very important element. We're going to talk about inheritance tax and how, if you have an inheritance tax liability, which, of course, is not your liability, it's the liability of the people that you're leaving the estate to. We're going to talk about some ways that you can reduce or avoid the impact of inheritance tax. And we're going to talk about powers of attorney, of course, which is an estate planning tool, which is more about protection while you're still alive rather than when you die. But nonetheless, an extremely valuable area of information for listeners.
So that's effectively, isn't it, where you might be in a home and you need to... is that right, or am I wrong? Completely.
You're asking me to preempt one of the future programmes.
Well, I'm just trying to establish whether it means, when you say powers of attorney, whether it's appointing someone because you're incapable of looking after it.
I couldn't word that better myself. It's appointing somebody to make your decisions on your behalf if you're unable to make those decisions yourself, which could be in one of many ways, an accident, stroke, dementia.
So you're appointing them well in advance.
Well, you need to appoint them at a time when you're able to appoint them. It's too late afterwards.
Yeah. There's a heck of a lot more to this than meets the eye, isn't there?
Yeah, we've still got to fill 26 programmes, haven't we?
I don't think we'll have any trouble. Well, look, thanks very much indeed for coming in today and going through what you have. We look forward to seeing you again soon. And in the meantime, of course, we'll be putting all that you've said today up on the 123 show page. So if you've missed any details or you'd like a recap, it'll all be there later this afternoon.